So band history without the brother part. Go for it.
Somebody Mark, answer go. It. Mark. Me?
Yeah, do it.
Band, 7 years ago we started. There was, well, we have to include Brotherhood somehow in it.
Oh, go ahead, because actually I can ask the second question a different way. Go ahead.
Well, our oldest brother, who's no longer a part of the band, he wanted to start a band. And,
what happened to him, poor guy?
He made the right choice and left.
Well, when we moved to Los Angeles to kind of pursue the dream, he had a career, and he couldn't leave.
I
Texas,
see.
So. Philip, our oldest brother, wanted to start a band, so we went along with it. We learned a bunch of Beatle covers, and eventually we started writing our own. We wanted to take it to the next level, as they say, so we moved to Los Angeles. He stayed behind because he had a career. Flash forward a few months, we met Bernard. Bernard stalked us for a couple months, and we let him in. And then after that, we got signed by Universal.
Bernard the Stalker.
And
he'd been stalking us for a while.
So this band is a majority, and I underline a majority Hispanic, but I've read that you say you feel like you come more from Liverpool. Mm. So was that the result of the way you were brought up, or, you know, and was life growing up in a family of 11 kids in rural Texas like Liverpool?
Exactly.
No, I don't think that's. I think the whole Liverpool thing just comes from the music we listen to.
Yeah, or is it just up? Good for the bio?
It just makes us look cool.
Melanie, that's just good for the bio, right?
Yeah. People like that.
Well, let's see. Let's pick a city.
spin the globe and here.
That's kind of like rural Texas. Let me see. I'm an A&R. Let me think about this. Let me get to the publicist. Liverpool, that's it. That's the marketing package, damn it.
No, well, I don't know where the British thing came from. Maybe the Beatles. We went through a bunch of Beatle phases.
The music we listened to,
and then next thing you know, we started listening to like Oasis and Blur and all these Britpop bands, and it just completely
the melodies and the song structure caught us.
Uh-oh, here he comes.
Here he comes. Yeah, he's like a shark. He's scary.
No, I've been pondering this myself. So if you're losing sleep over it, Dennis, I'm totally losing sleep over it.
Right next to you in the bed.
But, you know, I've been thinking about it also like in the context of like punk groups, like where you say, okay, you had the DKs from San Francisco and then you had
whatever.
You know, the Sex Pistols, of course, the most, probably the most well-known from the UK. And they were basically very close as far as in their eras. And, you know, you can kind of go back and forth as to which came first and all that kind of stuff. And so sometimes I just surrender myself, at least me personally, not necessarily speaking on behalf of the band, that the bands just do what comes naturally. And by some fluke, it bears some resemblance.
Yeah. So when it first started out, did you make a demo? Did you just do the... Because back 7 years ago, there wasn't a online DIY thing yet. There was no MySpace. Mm-hmm. Right. There was no any of those lovely places just yet.
Man, you're right.
It was...
So starting a band 7 years ago, give me a glimpse.
Yeah, we did like a few demos. I mean, when when our older brother was still a part of it, we did like a demo. And we were Jonah back then. It was like we were...
The Jonah,
yeah, different band name. Recorded some album with some local producer.
That came about.
And then we re-recorded it.
Yeah, then we re-recorded.
And then we moved to LA and we recorded another one.
Yeah.
It was one of them.
Your dad and your grandfather were both musicians, so you were surrounded by a lot of music from day one, right? Dad was a jazz musician.
Yeah.
And your grandfather played something really strange.
The accordion,
that's right. One of those things.
He also played bass, too.
Yeah, bass.
Yeah, and he played bass.
And he
yeah.
plays bass now.
He still does play bass.
Yeah.
But not accordion and bass at the same time, because that would be really kind of, I don't know how you would do that.
Well,
that'd be a strange moment.
I want to figure that out.
The bass accordion. It's a new...
But even though
he was jazz and accordion, there was accordion in the house, there was a lot of rock and roll.
You know, to be honest, there was very little, or there's actually no, my dad didn't play anything like jazz, actually. He was asked to play guitar for the church choir in our hometown that we grew up in, Palacios. And so that's basically all we saw was him playing guitar. It was in his youth when he was a teenager, before he went to Vietnam, that he played in a jazz band. So we really didn't grow up with like, you know, jazz music, him playing it. Just him playing guitar in church.
We listened to it,
of course. It was part of like listening to it, but it wasn't like
Yeah, it's not like we saw him going around the house with the saxophone.
Yeah, he wasn't like in a band or anything during our time. That was all before our time.
And you see, no matter how much we fool around, these work because, question 10, you attribute your music being melodic to being in that there church choir.
Mm-hmm. The harmonies, our vocal harmonies, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he eventually became the head of the church choir playing guitar, and so he started bringing us in.
Yeah, we all graduated from being altar boys to the church choir.
Yeah, exactly. And so he would teach us harmonies with the music. And so we all started singing together that way. And that's how we all started learning harmonies, how to harmonize and play.
But you decided not to become a gospel group.
Right, yeah.
So the person who signed you at Universal Republic flew the coop, is that correct? But has it all worked out or it hasn't all worked out? Or is there an album in the can? Because there is an album on iTunes on Universal Republic.
Yes.
But then we're going to talk about it. There's now something new I see that isn't on Universal Republic.
Yeah. Right. Correct.
Take me through the maze of big record companies, if you please.
Take it away, please.
Well, we got noticed and signed by a former Universal artist. Her name was Stella Soleil. And she was really enthusiastic, and she was really our champion. She got a sign.
What was her real name?
I think so. Was it
Soleil, like Le Soleil?
Yeah. Right, Soleil, like
Band of Soleil.
I wonder if she's been given that name, because that's just too good.
Yeah, right.
It's not her real name.
Yeah, no, My name is Stella Soleil, and I'm an A&R at Universal Republic. I want to sign you.
Okay.
I can hear it now. It's either that or my name's Stella Soleil. You know, it's either the smooth as oil, or it's like in full on New York. Look, babe, it's Stella Soleil.
You know. Anyway, she quit. I don't know why. She had said like she was disgruntled at some point for some reason. And
in a big record company like Universal, I can't imagine.
I don't know why
at least she didn't get her ass kicked out.
Yeah,
that's amazing because they kicked everybody else out.
Yeah,
it's only three people left at Universal. The receptionist is doing A&R, and the intern is the promo. I'm sorry, Universal. I'm gonna get my ass kicked.
Don't apologize to them.
They won't get around to it.
They don't have time to listen.
No, you can. I mean, I've even considered. There've been certain decisions we've had to make with the material, which Mark will probably kind of get through the whole chronology of it all.
Right,
but where it's like we're. What if we did this with a song or that song or with that master? And it's like, it would be a minor miracle if they actually got their head screwed on enough to come after us.
Good.
We're getting the masters back. We're in the process of getting them back.
So now, the first album officially came out on Universal Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First and only.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how did they do in promoting it?
-5.
It's funny,
negative
like they
five.
Did they not under? I mean, all kidding aside, we'll stop. Did they not get the band?
Did they not get
what they were trying?
No.
What you were?
100% did not get it.
So what did they try to? What did they try to package you as?
They didn't package us at all.
They
didn't.
They got around.
That's
to
even
that.
Worse.
Yeah. There was no marketing scheme put together. Nothing. There was
so it's kind of like, oh, we'll sign you. We'll let your record lay there like a lox. That's great. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much, yeah.
And then when we went back to New York because we felt they forgot about us,
yeah,
we showcased for them. And they said, yeah, okay, we get it. And then we said, well, can we at least get it released on iTunes? And they said, sure, okay. So they said it for November 13th.
Of 2007.
Yeah, 2007.
So these are pretty recent scars we're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, like November 14th, the next day, the vice president called us and said, okay, we're going to release you guys. It's like, oh, well, why didn't you just release us 2 years ago? Why did we have to sit around?
Release is saying bye-bye, not release as in we're going to...
No, like bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. 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 Yeah,
who were the two producers on the album? Were they were your choice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. David Kahn and Bill Loeffler.
Now, did you give them did they record you or did you give them a ready-to-go record?
They recorded us.
They recorded you.
Yeah.
And they let you have your producers.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder they let you go. They don't do that normally. It is hard to pin down your music, which does make it hard for an A&R person, despite the fact that you say Liverpool, despite the fact that you say melodic, mm-hmm. because sometimes the Spanish influence does find its way in there. But heck, that didn't hurt Carlos Santana. A whole heck of a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you have to be who you are, but tell me as you're writing songs, as you're going to do the next phase, and as you are going to talk to all of these new people that are going to sign you, tell me a little bit about how you talk about yourselves as a band these days.
Bernard, well, you answer
phased,
that, man.
Phase two.
Answer it.
Well, I'll start out, but yeah. I'm really happy with where we're going. I mean, we have talked a lot recently about collaborating on, like, Spanish material. And some of the things we're doing now, I mean, it used to be before when we would collaborate on songs, I would write the core structure of the song on acoustic and then bring it to the guys, and they would flesh it out. But now it's very collaborative. We go into practice and we can all, you know, just bang it out like in a couple hours. And so there's so much more reliance on each other. And I don't know, I feel like we've gotten to like a really good spot in maturity as a band, and as far as
my only comment is that, and it's maybe it's a little esoteric, but is that we just have maintained enthusiasm.
You define yourselves as a pop band, and that's not a bad thing, is it?
No. I like pop.
Pop is okay. Sure. But we're not talking pop in the Christina Aguilera.
Well,
pop. I think our pop is nice. Just like it's really easy to understand. It's not complicated. It's easy to play.
And you know, pop
it means we don't have
popular.
To take ourselves so seriously all the time.
It's just more about just like
it's
you
like
know.
Interpol. Can a band like Interpol even smile on stage? You know, it's like pop gives us like you know we can interact with our crowd and.
But you
not
need
feel
a vocal like Interpol. Everything is, and I like some Interpol
right,
tracks.
Right, yeah.
I like Dar. I like She Wants Revenge. Yeah, yeah. I like Interpol. I play a lot of that stuff on my shows because it's really fun and easy to play. Okay, now Engineer's Library.
Yes.
That's yours?
Yes.
And those were tunes that you had from the other session, new things, because that is available. That is available on iTunes for those of you in the listening audience, and Apple is not supporting me. So iTunes is merely just a...
Only
$4.99. More, right. iTunes is just merely a little iconic thing that we say for a place where they can get the music.
Right.
Yeah, Engineer's
Copyright 2008 Apple Computer.
It's just an acoustic EP our manager wanted us to put together. So it has new songs and it's
actually
some
of
B-sides.
Them are old. Like one of them, One Day, is like, you did that.
Yeah, some of just re-recordings from the CD, but like acoustic.
We're going to do a little session, but before we do the session, we have a little secret that we keep for the end here because we've invented this thing called a musical sandwich.
Yeah.
We take two of your songs as the bread.
Okay.
And then you each get to pick a couple of songs in between by other artists. And bands make fabulous DJs. And then I come back in here with vinyl and CDs and the only hard drive I have is for my PSAs. And exactly as you ask for them, I segue them.
How about we do the march?
We'll do the march.
And...
I mean, should we do Whole World Changes? We should do Whole World Changes.
Those are the two songs.
That's
the March and Whole World.
March and Whole World Changes.